The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Now, I appreciate these fine men that do an outstanding job in assisting me here. I do appreciate them so very much, and I try not to be a burden to them. I try to be a blessing to them. I really do. I try to bear a lot of the burdens here myself, and I try not to be a burden. But in the ministry, they are good fellas. I tell you what, you know, we have a great college administrator, Brother Butler, that's with the boys down in the valley. He's doing a super job in everything. And Mrs. Butler's sitting back there, and Delaney is sitting beside her. And from time to time, we have to reach over and hold her hand because she misses her husband so much. But I appreciate him traveling like he is and representing our college and taking the college boys off on tour. Then I appreciate Brother Palmore. Brother Palmore does a great job. Most of you don't know all that he does. He's kind of hid in a corner and a very quiet gentleman, by the way. But I appreciate him. And of course, he also is doing a great job over our music program, protecting our church. I don't think you ought to come to church and be entertained by a bunch of rock and roll looking idiots. I think church ought to be church. And so he's doing a good job with that. And of course, protecting our finances in the church. And he's sort of like my little secret agent, I tell you. If I need a letter written that makes it sound like it is like a lawyer, I'll get him to write it. And don't tell anybody. Then I'll sign my name. And he does a great job with that. Then, of course, Brother Crutcher, new guy on staff, doing a great job. Been here an entire year and just has been a blessing. He and his wife, of course, and all these fellows, they do have wives. I want you to know that. And so, you know, when I talk about them, can I tell you what? Their wives are right there too. And I mentioned Mrs. Butler back there. Mrs. Palmore is the one that keeps, and nobody knows this, but really keeps Brother Palmore straight. And I just appreciate that so very much. Keeps him on his toes, because no doubt he'd be in his office just sleeping away. And I just appreciate that so much. But Brother Crutcher came here, and God knew what he was doing. Does that surprise you? And God knew what he was doing. As Brother Bulkley had a burden to go and help Dr. May. And Brother Bulkley, I've often said, probably one of the greatest assistant pastors I've ever met in my life. He's kind of hard to fill the shoes, but can I tell you, Brother Crutcher's not filled his shoes. He's made new shoes, and it's always better that way. They fit better when they're yours. But you have loved and embraced he and his wife, and he is doing a super job as an assistant pastor here. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine that knows him well the other day, and I was telling him, man, I tell you, he is just doing a super job here, and I love him so deeply and his precious wife. And of course, when I think of Brother Craig and his wife, you know, Mrs. Craig is our nursery coordinator. And Brother Craig, you know, is just a guy that's just a real common type of guy. But I do love him. I do. And he's our senior saint director. He's over all the activities, of course, for our college and does a great job there. Teaches in the school. Mrs. Craig, of course, helping him. Now, what can I say about my son, Jonathan and Heather? What can I say? I don't know, so let's move on. But came up in our home, and I just love those two kids immensely, and I'm glad they're on staff. You know, Jonathan does a great job as our youth director, and of course, Heather is right there beside him all the way. And so you have Moses, and you have Mrs. Moses there, and not quite as old, but you know, I appreciate them so much, and he's a great organizer, as all these other guys are as well, and do a super job. And you don't know about Brother Yao, but Brother Yao is part-time staff here. He was part-time staff before I came. And also Brother Palmore before I came, and many others that have stayed by the stuff, not jumped ship, gone out and drowned somewhere else. And so I appreciate Brother Yao so very much. I mean, he and his precious wife, and for him to come up here and give her sugar publicly, That's really Brother Yao. And but he's our bus director and maintenance director and just does a super job there. And of course, then I can go along with, we have 27 employees here, some part-time, some other ones that are full-time. But I just want to give attention. I could talk about Mrs. Palmore that runs our financial office. I could go into all of our secretaries. But if I do all that, there'll be no sermon tonight. But I just want to say, I wanted to start off just by saying about these fellas that would be up here on the platform. Brother Wislowski up here every Sunday morning, baptizing every time we have somebody that needs to be baptized. And I appreciate Brother Wislowski. And I could you want me to just go on tonight? Forget preaching. We'll just start over here and just keep going on. And you'll love me by the time I get done, but you won't get much Bible. And so let's go to the Bible, all right? Here's what we see in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap," the Bible says, "if we faint not." Now, here's the problem. We don't know when due season is. We have no idea. Now, since you don't know when due season is, then I would take at least the first portion of that verse where it says, "And let us not be weary." Can I tell you, summertime in Texas, it's easy to get weary. As you're on a bus route and it's hot and you have kids that don't know how to take a bath, and they get on the bus route and they love you, and so they come up to you and they want to wrap their loving arms around you, and you smell them like you would have smelt them a couple of days ago, but it's just a lingering and a more progressive type of smell. But God says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season," whether it's a Sunday school teacher, in due season, whether it's a faithful usher, in due season, whether it is a faithful deacon, in due season, whether it is a person that works as a bus worker, in due season, whether it's somebody that's singing in the choir, in due season, whether it's a faithful soul winner, in due season, whether it's a faithful church member, the Bible says, "In due season you shall reap if ye faint not." Now, if we faint not. Now, here's the problem. We have people fainting today because of the fact that they don't realize that your reaping day will come. Now, can I tell you, and I want to encourage your heart tonight, your reaping day will come. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I think of a mother tonight that's given your life to rear godly children, and one of your children is wayward tonight. Well, can I tell you, there will be a reaping time. If you stay with it, you'll get to see some reaping. Now, it might not be a complete harvest. God didn't promise a complete harvest, but he did promise a reaping time. So you'll get to see some reaping times if you stay with it. But the Bible says, if we faint not. So we have to decide that we're not going to faint. By the way, a little victory is better than no victory at all. A little victory is something you can shout about when you possibly could have no victory at all. Now, let me read you something. Over Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And they journeyed," it says, "from Mount Hor," it says, "by the way of the Red Sea, and compassed the land of Edom." The Bible says, listen to it, "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." All right? You can become much discouraged because of the way. Yesterday, we went over to Trader's Village, and we walked around in Trader's Village from about 1 o'clock to about 5 o'clock, and we just kept walking and walking and walking, and I carry one of these Fitbits with me because I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight, and so I have this Fitbit that I carry with me, and boy, I tell you what, I put in more steps yesterday than I put in on any other day. I mean, it just was right there. Now, can I tell you, listen, by the time I got home, my feet was not hurt, and I was not complaining like the women was complaining about their feet. But when I got home and I took my shoes off, boy, I tell you what, I wanted to complain because my feet was killing me. All right? Now, can I tell you, however, we just kept walking and walking and walking. Now, some places you step might have rough rocks in your Christian life. Some places you step might be rough terrain in your Christian life. Some places you step, you might trip just a little bit and you might fall, but listen to me, God simply tells us that you could, just like the Israelites, you could get discouraged in or because of the way. Now, let me give you a couple things tonight, and I want to talk to you about this. What happens when Christians face discouragement? What happens? And by the way, if you haven't faced it yet, you will. You will. And so this message will be good for everybody that hears it if you give it a good ear. Statement number one, what causes discouragement? The number one reason for discouragement is family conflict. Family conflict. Now, let me tell you, the book of Matthew gives attention to this. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, here's what it says. Think not, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. He said, don't think that. Don't think that I came to send peace on the earth. He said, I've come not to send peace, but a sword. He said, and by the way, can I tell you, the word of God divides. The word of God pierces. Now, I'm going to tell you why it happens this way in a family. The Bible says, but a sword. He says, I've come to set man, it says, in variance against his father and daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. The Bible says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. All right, now why is it that families are divided? I'm going to tell you. Families get divided when you have one person that's dedicated and you have another person that is not as dedicated. You have one person that wants to be in church all the time. You have another person that doesn't want to be in church any of the time or not as much of the time. You have one person that wants to walk as close to God and get the blessings of God as much as they possibly can, and you have another person that is not as dedicated and is not as concentratively trying to get the blessings of God. And so you have one person that says, well, I tell you what, I want to give God all I've got. The other person doesn't want to give God all they've got, and there is the divide. The divide comes because there is a sword, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that brings the sword. Now, can I tell you, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. So when you hear preaching about being dedicated, now watch this. Did you know dedication divides friends? Did you know that? One Christian says, I will not do that. Another Christian says, well, it doesn't matter what you want to do, I'm willing to do that. So you have an undedicated believer trying to have fellowship with a dedicated believer, and the Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? And so you have a dividing factor. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. One person in the home says, hey, look, let's stay with it a little bit longer. The other person in the home says, well, I don't think we need to stay with it a little bit longer. Look at all the happenings. Now, I'm going to help you out a little bit. A happening can give you happiness. That's what happenings do. It gives you happiness. But happenings never will give you peace. Happenings will never give you joy. The joy of the Spirit has nothing to do with the happenings. Your joy comes from within, not from without. It's not caused by that which is a stimuli, but your joy comes from only one person, Jesus Christ. The joy is that which is a fruit of the Spirit. You'll read that in the book of Galatians, all right? And so you cannot get your joy. Some of our kids went the Six Flags the other day, and I watched some as they posted different things on the social media network and stuff like that. And I saw people screaming, and I saw people having a great time. Now, can I tell you something? That's a happening. But you can't live at Six Flags. You cannot move into Six Flags and live your life on a ride. I think sometimes people watch too much television and they say, well, if my marriage is not like that, then it can't be a happy marriage. Turn the stinking set off and get down to making a relationship with each other. Your relationship that you have with each other should not be based on Hollywood. It should be based on that which is the living God and the living God that gave you a living book that's called the Bible. All right, now wait a minute, watch this, okay? So conflicts in the family. Notice the rest of that passage there in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. The Bible says, and he says, he taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And the Bible says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life, it says, for my sake shall find it. So the reason that there's conflict in the home is there's one person that is selfish in, if I may say so, in serving God, and they want that, they desire that, they crave that. And then there's another person that's selfish and they want to serve themselves and they want that and they desire that and they crave that. And there is your divide. All right. Wait a minute. So what causes discouragement, conflicts in the home? Statement number two, giving God second place in your life. That'll cause discouragement. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, the Bible talks about the Lord said to these that were around, okay, follow me. And here's what they said. They said, Lord, he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus reminds them. He says, well, let me tell you, before you step out, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. Then all of a sudden, these same boys that came up and said, I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll follow you. These same boys came back and said this. They said, well, suffer me first to go and bury my father, or suffer me first to go and prove the oxen that I purchased, or suffer me first to go because I now have a wife. All right? And they were given all these excuses. Now, can I tell you what causes discouragement inside of your life and many times inside of your family is conflicts in the family about who is supposed to be the one that we are dedicated to. That is supposed to be Christ. Christ, that's an old, listen to me, an old scriptural truth, and that's never going to change. The most unhappy people you'll ever find in your life is people that know what to do that is right, and they choose to do that which is wrong. Why? Because they're in conflict with a holy God, and you can't live that way. You can't survive that way. I'm saying that you need God to work in your life, and when you get God working in your life, it'll make a difference inside of your life. It'll make a difference inside of your house. Conflicts with the family sometimes will cause discouragement. Giving God second place in your life sometimes will cause discouragement. So what happens when people get discouraged? Let me give you some statements. What happens when people get discouraged? Here's what happens. They pray the wrong prayers. When people get discouraged, they pray the wrong prayers. Let me give you a cite and case from your Bible. And by the way, you're in a Bible preaching Baptist church. We're not going to get up and have some theatrical type of display of drama tonight. We're going to preach the Bible. The Bible teaches that people, oftentimes discouragement comes. And when that does come, because of the reasons I gave you a moment ago, what's the result of that? They pray the wrong prayers. You remember Moses? Moses prayed to die. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 11 through 15, the Bible says that Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. So all these people are grieved. The Bible says that he heard every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. You know, when you begin to complain about God's hand, God's anger begins to mount against you. The Bible says, and Moses was also displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, he says, wherefore it says, has thou afflicted thy servant? And of course, he begins to look at these people. And then all of a sudden, now watch this, if you will. He says, watch this. He says, am I not able to bear? He says, I'm not able to bear, it says, to hear all these people alone because it is too heavy for me. Now, can I tell you, I was talking to that man of God, and he said, preacher, he says, pastoring's a heavy thing. He said, because you have to hear everybody's burdens. He said, oh, it's a heavy thing. All right, now watch what it says. And if thou deal thus with me, he says, kill me. Now this is Moses. Moses is saying, now wait a minute. He said, all these things are so heavy. He said, why just don't you kill me? Now he's talking to God. He's praying to God. He said, God, it's just too heavy. Kill me. Now that sounds like he's pretty discouraged. He's praying the wrong thing. Elijah prayed to die as well. Not only did Moses pray to die, but Elijah prayed to die. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, the Bible says, and he requested, it says, for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. He says, take my life that I am and not, it says, it was better than my father's. He said, look, he said, Lord, I'm so discouraged. I just pray that you take my life. Now, by the way, that's called discouragement. So people pray the wrong things when they're discouraged. Statement number two, they say the wrong things when they're discouraged. You remember Job? What did he do? He said the wrong things. Over in Job chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says here, he said, and cursed is his day wherein let the day perish, he says, let the day perish wherein I was born. So what did he do? He said the wrong things. David did that too. David said the wrong thing. Over in Psalm 116 and verse 11, the Bible says, he said, I said in my haste, says all men are liars. So in his haste, he said the wrong things. Wait, what does discouraged people do? They pray the wrong things. They say the wrong things. They begin to think the wrong things. They think the wrong things. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. The Bible says that John, while he was in prison, all of a sudden came the disciples, two of the disciples of Christ. The Bible says that he said unto these disciples of Christ, he says, art thou he that should come? He's asking about Christ. Art thou he that should come? Or he says, do I look for another? All right, so he was thinking the wrong things. He didn't even recognize that these were the disciples of Christ and they came to bring that message. And so he begins the question. He says, well, wait a minute, is it he? Is he the one? Is that Christ? Is that the Son of God? Is that the Lord? Or should I look for another? And when you're discouraged, you pray the wrong things. When you're discouraged, you say the wrong things. When you're discouraged, you think the wrong things. Martha did that. The Bible says in John chapter 11 and verse 39, the Bible says, Lord, it says, by this time he stinketh. He says, for he had been dead 4 days. He said, Lord, now wait a minute. I know you've gone. I know you love our family, but don't you understand that by this time he stinks? All right, she said the wrong thing. Not only do they do that, but they do this also. They do the wrong things. God gave that which was Moses a staff. But God did not tell Moses to smite the rock. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 11, that Moses smote the rock. He was supposed to speak to the rock, the Bible says. But the Bible says he lifted up his hand, and the Bible says, and with, it says, his rod, he smote the rock twice. So in his anger, he hit it twice. Now what happened? He did the wrong thing. He's discouraged. He did the wrong thing. The Bible says that Elijah ran. He did the wrong thing. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 3, the Bible says that he went for his life. So Jezebel is chasing him, and he runs, and he finds a juniper tree, and he sits underneath the juniper tree, and he cries out to God. He did the wrong thing. Discouraged people many times will pray the wrong thing. They will say the wrong thing. They will do the wrong thing. They will think the wrong thing. They will see the wrong things. The Bible says there was giants in the land. Yes, there was. But the men that was sent over to search out the land, they didn't see the prosperity of God. They didn't see the goodness of God. All they saw was the giants. Well, I can't do it because of the giant. Hey, whatever happened to faith? Whatever happened to some of you preacher boys that are truly called to preach, that you don't get so hung up in your business and so hung up making money that becomes your forte? Whatever happened to scratching a place in the dirt and going out and starting yourself an independent Baptist church and preaching the Bible so that somebody's life could be changed? Hey, whatever happened with getting on a bus route and building a bus route and staying out and saying, I'm not going to be satisfied with 20 and I'm not going to be satisfied with 30? And I'm going to stay out there, and there's a world out there, and I can reach that world, and I can do my part, and I can reach that portion of that city. Hey, whatever happened to the good old-fashioned sacrifice and dedication that built churches in America, where all of a sudden the churches were jam-packed and people would come for old-fashioned preaching? I'm telling you tonight that David also did the wrong thing. The Bible says he made haste. I'm telling you that there was John and Martha. They thought the wrong thing. I'm telling you tonight that there was Moses and Elijah. And they decided that they were going to make some errors in judgment. But I'm also telling you, you can see the wrong things. Those men that went over to search out the land in Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33, Caleb said that, hey, you know, we can do this and let us rise up at once and possess it. But the Bible says those other men, they said that we're not able. And these men withstood those, and they were stronger than we, the Bible says in their report. And they saw the giants and said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. What happened? They saw the wrong things. You know, there are people that see the difficulties rather than God working. You remember the story, Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. The Bible says that Peter requested of the Lord to get out of the boat. He said, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Now, you stay with me now. Stay with me. Here's a little Bible nugget. God told the disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side. That was his command. That's what he said. Then Peter said, as the Lord came walking in the midst of the sea, as the sea was boisterous, as you're reading your Bible in the book of Matthew, Peter said, if it be thou, Lord, bid me to come unto thee. Now, I think Jonathan pointed this out in his Sunday school class as we were fellowshipping today. He kind of put the Lord in a corner, didn't he? I mean, what's the Lord going to say? Oh, it's not me. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. So what's the Lord going to say? No, it's not me. No, Peter pushed the Lord, and the Lord said, okay, go ahead and do it. And then he got out there, and he looked around, and he saw the wind boisterous. When he saw the wind boisterous, because he took his eyes off of the Lord. And can I tell you, listen to me, when a person gets outside of the will of God, please stay with me. When a person gets outside of the will of God, they start to make wrong choices, one after another, after another, after another. And then they find themselves out in the middle of the sea, and the sea is boisterous. And they find hey, listen, you don't get backslidden overnight. You get backslidden just a little bit at a time. You get farther away from God. You lose your desire for spiritual things. Look, when you lose your desire to come to old-fashioned preaching, can I tell you, you are either backslidden or on the road to become backslidden very short. And you'll make up every lame brain excuse you can think of. Well, I don't want to go to preaching because if I go to preaching, he's going to say some things that makes me mad. Look, sometimes you got to get mad before you get glad. But old-fashioned preaching is what changed America. Old-fashioned preaching is what brought America to her knees when some preachers would get up and they didn't care what the crowd said. They weren't in it for popularity. They were in it because of principle, and they preached the Word of God with fervency and with that which was great energy. Why? Because they believed what this book taught. Now I'm saying tonight, listen, you can end up in times of difficulties, making wrong choices. Brother House used to say, never make a decision when your decision maker's out of place. Never make a decision. Well, I tell you what, I'm backslidden away from God. Can I tell you, beloved, that is not a time to make a decision for God. Well, I'm not reading my Bible. Then you don't make any decisions till you get your heart. I didn't say your eyes, I didn't say your head. But until you get your heart in that book. Well, I tell you what, I'm listening to wrong music. Then you don't have a spiritual bone in your body and you don't have sense enough to make a spiritual decision. Well, you know, I've got all these hooks of the world inside. Look, I'm telling you, what would change America if we just get the Christian crowd to be right with God? We just get the Christian crowd to get back and be dedicated again and stop having this passive attitude. I'll come to church when I feel like it. When I don't feel like it, I'll just do what I want to do because after all, that's all that matters. And can I tell you tonight, friend, that is not all that matters. There is a God. There is a Holy
Holy Ghost, there is somebody that wants you to serve Him and be dedicated again and put Him first.
I'm saying tonight, you can end up in the wrong place. You can end up, are you listening to me, making choices in those wrong places that will actually destroy your life. Well, you say, well, wasn't God going to save him? Well, of course God was going to save him. By the way, have you ever made a dumb mistake? Have you ever made a bad decision? You got out there all by yourself and you realized that in making the decision, it wasn't wise. And then you got out there and you started to sink and you called on God, and out of the graciousness of God's goodness, He spared you. That's a good God. So we have difficulties understanding the power of God when we're discouraged. We end up in wrong places. Jonah ended up in the belly of the whale. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, now the word of the Lord, the Bible says, and now it says Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. He's already prepared. The Bible says a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That was the will of God for the fish. Go find Jonah. Go find that backslidden preacher. Go find them, fish. He had one will of God for his life, was to find a backslidden preacher and gobble him up. And then the backslidden preacher was so nasty, being away from God, he had to throw him up. Hello. By the way, you get around a backslidden preacher, and that backslidden preacher make you want to throw up too. Wait. I'm not just going to pick on the preacher. Let me come to where you live. You get around a backslidden Christian, they want to make you puke. You try and get them in church, and they give you every lame brain excuse they can give you. They want to make you throw up all over their front doorstep. You go in their house, they're watching things they ought not to watch, doing things they ought not to do, running with crowds they ought not, have no business running with those crowds. It makes you want to puke. Now, wait a minute, watch this. There was Elijah, I said a moment ago, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, and the Bible says that he landed underneath a juniper tree, and he requested, it says, for himself that he might die. How many times do you reach such a lowly state in your life that you have said to yourself, if not to somebody else, you have said, I wish I were dead. I wish I never was born. By the way, the person that says that is not right with God. You can't tell me you're walking with God and speaking such things. There's no way. You may be reading the Bible, but you're not letting the Bible read you, and you're not letting God work inside of you. Now, I'm not saying that a person that's right with God will never be discouraged. These people are right with God. But they had some valleys in their life. But one of the worst things you can do when a valley comes in your life is to give to that valley. You know, we even have a wrong spirit when we're discouraged. We have this defeated attitude. The attitude of being defeated when we're discouraged. We have a murmuring attitude when we're discouraged. We have a grouchiness about us when we're discouraged. We have a very critical tongue when we're discouraged. You ready? Here's what we do. I'm done. I said, what causes discouragement? We talked about that. We talked about what happens when you get discouraged. We talked about that. Now, let me give you an antidote. Okay? How is it that you can overcome discouragement? Let me give you some antidotes. Can I do it real quick? Then we'll go to the house. Statement number one, realize this, that God can prove himself in your adversity. God can. Well, I'm discouraged. God's not. Well, I think I'm going to die. God never will. Well, I just don't know if I can make it. With God, all things are possible. Psalm 31 and verse 7, the Bible says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercies. He says, for thou hast considered my trouble. He says, thou hast known my soul in adversities. You say, well, preacher, I'm all alone. You don't know your Bible too well. Because he says that he is with you in your adversities. All right? Now, wait a minute. So allow God to prove himself real in your adversities. You turn to him. Statement number one. Statement number two. You ready? Have friends that will help you through your adversity. Now, there's no better help than the Lord. The Bible says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. All right, so when you're going through adverse times, by the way, you listen to me, if you're married, go to your husband. Boy, some of you men all be shouting amen right now. Amen. You say, I don't want to shout amen because she's sitting beside me, and when she has an adverse time, she'll come running to me. Your husband ought to know the Bible good enough that he can be your mainstay counselor. Amen. Now, if he doesn't know the Bible that well, then he needs to learn the Bible. Amen. But you ought to be able to go to your husband and say, honey, I can't figure this out. Tell me. Tell me. Now, by the way, if he would be in church faithful like he should, he'd know the Bible. Amen. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what we understand. You say, oh, that's kind of powerful stuff for me tonight. No, just read the Bible. You'd be surprised what God would teach you. Mrs. Hart, good to see you. God bless you. You just get in. God bless you. I make sure that Gracie behaves up there. And Mrs. Henderson. No? Yes. Mrs. Henderson, too. I'm not worried about your kids, just them two. All right, now watch this. Here's what we understand. We understand this. We understand that we are not supposed to be faint-hearted during times of adversity. All right, statement number next. Get your strength every day to overcome your adversity. Okay, watch this. I want to help you. Ready? Here we go. Adversity hits me. So what do? I run to the doctor. We have a great physician who's Jesus. Is that right? Is that right? So adversity hits me. What do? I go running to Jesus as quick as I can. I get over here. God, help me. I fall on my knees. I get Jesus. And he gives me a shot. Now stay with me a little bit. But can I tell you, just because you got victory over the adversity in your personal life today, if you don't go running to him every day, it is going to come back. In your Bible, as you know your Bible, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Paul said that mortify the flesh, that means to put to death. He said, I die daily. By the way, you cannot hurt a dead man. You can't do it. I tell you what, Kyle, come here if you will. Bring your body. If you come here, you have to bring your body. But you can't hurt a dead man. Go up and die for me. Good practice, amen. Let's fix you up as a dead man. Let's do this real good here. Dead man, dead man. There you go. Dead man. We're going to put this up here. You can't read it. You're dead. But you can't hurt a dead man. So if some of us would just die, you wouldn't be offended so much if you die. Problem is, you're not dead. Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. Oh. Said, don't you feel sorry for me? No, die. If you would die, nobody would hurt your feelings. Well, so-and-so's talking about me. Well, good. You say, wow, I can't believe you said that. Now you hurt my feelings. That proves you're not dead. Die. But if you die, your husband would not offend you. Your wife would not offend you. Your kids would not offend you. Your parents wouldn't offend you. Well, my parents are always telling me what to do, and it bothers me. It's because you're not dead. If you were totally surrendered in Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have a problem with authority. Your daddy could tell you that you're going to wear purple shoes for the next year and a half, and you would say, oh, I'd be glad to. Now, I'm talking to a girl tonight, not a boy. If a boy says, I would be glad to, he's got more problems than not being dead. By the way, let me help you fellas out just a little bit. Don't start wearing the colors that would confuse our society of who you really are. Don't do that. I mean, what you're doing, you're setting yourself up saying, hit me, man, hit me, hit me. Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Don't go out and buy yourself a homosexual flag and fly it and say, well, everybody deserves. No, God says that's an abomination. You leave it right there. All right, now wait a minute. Here's a dead man. Here's a dead man. I can go up and I can talk bad about him. I can. I can. I can. I can talk bad about him, but when I do, he's not going to get offended. He's not going to get upset. He's dead. All right? I can go up and I can try and ruffle him up a little bit. By the way, if he's married, I can talk bad about his kids. I'll talk bad about his wife. I'll talk bad about his grandkids. I can talk bad about his character. I can talk bad about the way he positions his body in church. But you know what? If he's dead, doesn't bother him. Doesn't bother him. You know why? Because you can't, you don't believe me, do you? Go to the funeral home. Go over there. Go up that person laying in that casket and pinch their cheek and see if they say, ouch. By the way, if they do, leave. Because there's something wrong. Thank you, Kyle. You get your Bible. Watch this, if you will. I said this. Understand this. Understand when dealing with discouragement, God will prove himself in your adversity if you let him. You'll have friends that will prove themselves in your adversity, and your best friend ought to be those at home if you let them. You can be strengthened on a day-to-day basis in your adversity if you allow it to happen. Let me give you two more and I'm done. Our priorities will prove themselves in the day of adversity. It's amazing to me how many Christians we have in our community nowadays that do not have character for Christ. I'm actually, honestly, shocked and discouraged about that. Because you have people that, you don't have people have character for God anymore. You know, you wonder if they're even going to show up for church. You wonder if they'll fulfill their positions that they said they would fulfill. You wonder. You wonder if deacons will still deek. If bus captains will still captain. If bus drivers will still drive. We have Sunday school teachers that don't show up and never call us. We have people supposed to be in positions over in Brother Yao, over there with the B Sunday school, and he can't even find where they are. Now what is that? That's poor character for Christ. I'm saying this. I'm saying prioritize, prove yourself during the day of adversity. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, in the day it says of prosperity, be joyful, but in a day of adversity, consider. He said, God also have set one over against the other to the end of that man shall find nothing after him. So he said, look, he said, what do you have? He said, in the days when you're prosperous, hey, smile, smile. But in the days of adversity, what are you supposed to do? Consider God. Doesn't say give up. Doesn't say quit. Doesn't say walk away. It says consider. You know, adversities are good for you. Hello. I had a tooth worked on in the Philippines. I'll not bore you with the details. But I had a tooth worked on in the Philippines. I was supposed to preach a conference that night. And I sat in the dentist chair for 2.5 to 3 hours. He was actually physically upon me. And he was pushing hard. Say, were you in pain? Uh-huh. He said, raise your hand if you feel pain. I was in so much pain, I was grasping that chair so much that my hand clave to the chair. And I could not let go. And he would say, you in pain? And he would say, okay, I'll back off for a minute. And he shot me again with something. And then he came back again, started. I didn't realize I had a tooth that big. I felt like he was drilling through the world. Maybe drilling for oil in Texas in a dried up field. But the Bible talks about prioritizing your day. He says, look, when you are going through adverse times, back off. Don't jerk your wheel. Don't make a decision when your decision maker is out of place. Here's what he says. You simply consider. Consider. Last statement, I'm done. God will prove, think about this, God will prove himself in the adversity. God will, if you stay with it. By the way, you listen to me? Three Hebrew boys in the burning, fiery furnace. They stayed in. Who did they see? The Lord Jesus Christ. When they got delivered, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them, but their bonds were burned off. That's God. So God approved himself. Now watch this and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. The Bible says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. The Bible says, and them which suffer adversity and being, it says, yourselves also in the body. So remember that the Lord is the one that can deliver you, but also remember, you're not alone. I tell you what, I'm going through this all by myself. I got allergies. You really think you're the only one that has allergies in the state of Texas that has most allergies that have survived and do live here? And they're happy because now you're a part of their society? You really think you're the only one? Do you really think you're the only one? All right, now wait a minute. So remember that when you're going through things, I used to tell my children when they're going through things, I said, don't get poochy lip disease. Don't do it. You know, your spirit affects somebody else's spirit. I want to help you. You ready? I'm going to help you. In the home, I'm done. This is it. I promise. You know, in the home, the children will pick up more of the spirit of the mother than they do the father. Why is that? Because they're around mom more than you are dad. It's called influence. It's amazing to me. I see children, I'm honest before the Lord, I see children walking around, they're happy and they're singing and they're just, you know, they got a smile 24/7 and it's just, you know, and then I look at their mother and I see the same thing and I said, ooh. Ooh. I see children that's in the house and they're real, they got this solemn look, they got this very serious look, they got this, all right, and then I look at who they came from, and I think, ooh, ooh, ooh. So you say, what do I do with that? Here's what you do. You get with God and say, God, whatever area in my life for my children's sake, you need to change. Change me. That's what you do. That's what you do. Now, wait a minute. As they get older, watch this. That way, mom, you don't take all the blame. But as they get older, and by the way, watch this. It's almost a natural thing. As they get older, they turn to dad more for wisdom. They don't get offended. But as children get older, they would turn to dad more for wisdom, often more times than not, not all the time, but often more times than not, they'll turn to dad for wisdom before they turn to you. Now, don't get mad at that. That's just the way God put it together. But dad, you will never get that if you don't spend time with them now. All right? I'm saying, look, it is very important tonight that we understand discouragement does come. Now, wait a minute. When it does come, you be what you're supposed to be in the place you're supposed to be at so that God can help you through the discouraging times. Brother Costa showed me a picture. Remember that picture he showed me? We're standing out by the bookstore. There's a church, some non-denominational outfit, and they had a flag that was hanging in front of their church. It was a 50-foot type of flag. And they paid upward probably, he said, to about $900+ for it. And they hung it up, apparently sometime, maybe yesterday or the day before yesterday. And when they arrived at the church this morning, somebody had jumped up there and either cut it or jerked it, and it tore all the way across, tore it off, and no doubt just kind of threw it on the ground. Now, to be honest with you, I'm an American, and I'm a patriotic American. And when he showed me that, I got mad. So, well, you shouldn't have got mad. Well, forgive me, but really I don't even want to ask your forgiveness. I got mad. I wanted to wring somebody's neck. You don't treat my flag that way. Now, wait a minute. You listen to me tonight. I'm saying this. I'm saying you're going to have things that come your way that get you discouraged. Hello? Mrs. Wells and I took a day or two off, and I spent time with my honey. We held hands, and we walked in the stores, and we ate together, and I was over at Bass Pro. And I've got that truck. It sits up kind of high. It doesn't have a beeper. When you get my age, you need a beeper everywhere you go. You need it on the sides, in the back, and in the front. You need it to be able to find yourself way through the house. I mean, you just need to have beepers all around you so you don't run into stuff. And man, I was backing out, Brother Bell, I was backing out of that parking spot. And it was a nice parking spot. We enjoyed it while we were in there. And I backed out. Man, I hit the front of one of those boat hitches. And I got that thin little bumper. And it cut a slash right in that bumper. Didn't hurt the boat. I mean, I got out, that boat was laughing at me. And I looked at that thing, and I thought, here, we had saved up money. We had gathered gift cards. We went to one restaurant, didn't pay anything. Went to another restaurant, didn't pay anything. Went to another restaurant, didn't pay anything. Went to another restaurant, paid 25 cents. And I thought, this is great. We went down to the Omni Hotel. That's a pretty nice hotel. You know, found it online and was going to pay like $170 for one night. And I thought, man, they gave me the presidential suite, and come to find out that was an average deal. And I walked in there, and that guy waited on me behind the check-in counter. And he said, what special event is this? And I said, well, if you want to call it a special event, we didn't get to go on a 30th wedding anniversary. And so this is our 31st. And so it's pretty special to us. And he said, oh, wait right here. He went over and upgraded us to a, what was it, 400, 500, 600, $9,000 room. No, what was it? You don't remember? But anyway, it was a huge upgrade, and we was able to spend the night up there. And now, can I tell you, that's the goodness of God. But what I'm saying is this. Man, I ran into that boat, that hitch, slashed my vehicle. I didn't get out and get mad at the vehicle. And I didn't get in and lose my temper and go flying down the hallway taking my revenge out on every little creature that was crawling across the highway thinking, I'm going to get you. I didn't do that. But I got in there and my heart sank. My heart sank. I thought, man, I've saved all this money. We scrimped, we saved, we scrimped, we saved, we scrimped. We saved, we scrimped, we saved, and now, look what I did. And she could tell you. She could tell I was discouraged a little bit. She said, well, it's going to be okay. And in her famous words, you can't do anything about it. I go to my wife, and I she said, honey, you can't do anything about it. It's out of your hands. Can't do anything about it. Well, isn't it true? And by the way, most of the time when you're discouraged, you can put these things into place, but sometimes you just have to understand it's out of your hands. You might as well live on and smile, because you can't do anything about it. So don't let it discourage you. You just decide, man, I'm going to live life and enjoy it. the way God gave it to me. Hello? Let me give you 10 more illustrations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for these dear people.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.